Well, it's a good thing they were paying attention back there. I left my mic on. That could have been bad. Well, good morning. Welcome to the house of the Lord. I pray that you come expecting wonderful things that only God can provide. Amen? I know I did. And I'm excited about God's Word. Where else can we find excitement? Nowhere. So if you have your Bibles, if you would, turn to Matthew chapter 5. And today we're going to begin in verse 17. And while you're finding that, we're just going to recap a little bit. We've been doing a series on the Sermon of the Mount. And at the beginning of the series, Jesus kind of gives us the framework in how to live a Christ-like life. We find that in his Beatitudes. These Beatitudes give us an outline of how Jesus tells us we should live a life like his. And then he tells us we are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. He wants to let us know how he sees us. But also with that comes a great responsibility. And that responsibility is we take his commands and how he lived his life while he was here on earth, and apply those things to ourselves. Otherwise, we lose our saltness, as we seen last week, and we cannot be the light of the world, the light that this world truly needs, because it is truly a world of darkness. Amen? So if you have your Bibles open, we'll begin reading in verse 17. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly, I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot, will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning. And Father, we just pray that you will clear our hearts and minds, that we may receive your word and the Holy Spirit may interpret it for us. Father, let us receive this word, that we may be able to live a life that glorifies you and furthers your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. There's sometimes confusion in this one verse. People often wonder, what did Jesus mean when he said, I come to fulfill the law? Well, I used to believe and think, and rightly so, I had it partly right, that when he sacrificed himself on the cross, then he fulfilled what needed to be done that we may be redeemed to God. Amen? But there was more to it. You see, there was people on this earth that were proclaiming God's word, but they were proclaiming it as they saw it. And they were wrong. They were way off base. So when Jesus says that he came to fulfill the law, what he's saying is he came to interpret the law. He came to interpret it the way that God meant it to be from the very beginning, before man got a hold of it and twisted it all up and threw in some of their own junk. So he came to fulfill the law by interpreting the law, to make sure that we knew exactly what the law meant the way that God intended it. The Pharisees, these same ones that were taking the law and twisting it and turning it for their own benefit, accused Jesus of being anti-law. They accused him of being a blasphemer, because when he spoke and interpreted the law the way it was intended to be from the beginning, they knew the truth. And they did not want to be found out to be liars and hearsayers. And so they accused the only one. They accused the author of the law. Amen? Genesis tells us that Jesus is who? He is the Word. These are the laws that He made. And so who better to interpret them for us than the one who created them? And the Pharisees knew this, and they knew what was fixing to come. See, like I said a minute ago, the Pharisees had come and taken God's word and decided He needed some help. That He didn't have time to finish it. It wasn't exactly right. And there are some Pharisees in churches today. There's some Pharisees that go out into the world proclaiming the word of God, and they've added their own little touch to it, their own little spin to it, added a little bit more and taken a little bit away for it would work for them. And so Jesus came to put a stop to that because His people, the Jews, were being told a story, a fiction, something that wasn't real. And these Pharisees who were so proud of their education and they knew it all. And what they did to fool the Jews, you remember they had the written word, they had the Old Testament. And so they told the Jewish people that the Lord gave them the extra in their prayer so they could give it to them orally. They thought a lot of themselves. But yet Jesus came as a servant. He came as a servant to serve to us the truth of His law. Amen? See, Jesus clarified God's long-standing desire that His creation be characterized by both internal and external obedience and holiness. Obedience and holiness. Without obedience, there is no holiness. Amen? And you notice it said internal first. The Lord has got to change us inside before He can change us on the outside. And so many people are walking around changed on the outside, but they're the same old person on the inside. Like I said, they're walking around like the Pharisees. Look at me. Thus saith the Lord. Who else took Scripture and made it fit what he wanted it to be? Satan. He knows Scripture. He probably knows it better than any of us. And he used it as he tried to tempt the Lord. But how can you tempt the Lord with a false word when the Lord's the one that wrote it? Foolish. Just like the Pharisees were foolish. Jesus himself fulfilled the law in three ways: by keeping it perfectly. While he was here on earth, he was able to keep the law perfectly, by fulfilling the Old Testament prophecies and by providing the way of salvation that meets all the righteous requirements of the law. He was the only true way that anyone could be righteous. The Pharisees tried to make the Jews believe the more they gave, the more they came to the temple, the more they sacrificed, the more righteous they would become. But true righteousness only comes from one place, and that is our faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. There are two passages in the Old Testament, in the book of Jeremiah and the book of Ezekiel, that explains under the new covenant, the same law, the very character of God, is not to be an external standard, but its values are to become an incarcerated part of a newly recreated people. Again, it's what's in here. It's our hearts. If we allow the Lord to change our heart, the external part of it will take care of itself. People will see a change in you that can only come from God. There'll be no fakeness. There'll be no fake self-righteousness. Amen? But we have to allow the Lord to change us. And it's saddening sometimes when you see somebody profess to be a Christian, yet nothing has changed. Yet they're convinced that they have accepted our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but there is no change. And my Bible tells me that that can't be the case. that if we have truly accepted Jesus as our Savior, there is an automatic change, not in our outward appearance, but in our inner appearance, in our heart. It is changed in a way that nothing else can change it. And then the more we learn about Christ and the more we learn about how He tells us to live, then we start seeing the external changes. People start looking at us like, well, what happened to you? And when people start asking us, well, Larry, what happened to you? Then we know we're doing something right. We allowed Christ to change us. That's the only thing we can do right. On our own, that's the only thing we can do right is allow Jesus to change us. Then after that, everything comes from Him. How we live comes from Him. How we talk comes from Him. How we do all these things come from Him. It is no longer us. And people will say, what happened to you? Oh, I love it when people ask me that. What happened to you? Oh, you found religion. No, I found Jesus. And He changed me in only a way that He could. And that's how we live this Christ-like life, is when people can see not only the external change, but the inner change. I wasn't always a nice person. Sometimes I'm still not, but I'm getting there. I wanted it the way I wanted it. It was going to be done the way I wanted it done, or heaven help you. And because now I crave for it to be done God's way. Not my way, because my way is worthless. My way will fail. My way is only temporary. His way is eternal. And people say, wow, you changed. You're not as grumpy as you used to be. See, I told you if you smiled, your face wouldn't crack up and fall off. Then we know that we have been changed. Verse 18 says, for truly, I say to you, for truly, when Jesus says, for truly, set up, pay attention. He's got something very, very important to say. I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until it is accomplished. What's He telling us there? He's telling us there that every single bit, part of His Word is to be taken in a manner that it is not changed. You see, this dot and this iota come from the word yod. Y-O-D, yod. And this word yod represents like the dot on top of our I, or the curvy part of our Y. And Jesus is saying that His Word, the way it is written, is not to be tampered with in any way as much as taking the dot away from the I or taking the curve away from the Y. Do not mess with any of it. Do not change it. Do not add to it. Do not take away from it. It is His. And His alone to interpret for us, not for us to change it any old way we want to where it suits how we want to live. If you want to live a Christ-like life, don't try to mess with this. Pray that the Holy Spirit will interpret it for you, and then you will see clearly. But when man gets a hold of it and they want to twist it and change it and add it and take away, oh, and there are so many people that do it today. We are warned of false prophets, amen, false teachers. It's careful that you don't believe everything I tell you. It's important that you discern for yourself through the Holy Spirit if what I am saying is right. Because I will never intentionally make a mistake, but I make them. I've made maybe one or two in the past year. And praise God, I have a church family who will quickly correct me, for I don't look like a Pharisee. Amen? I actually encourage that because I don't want to go around proclaiming something that I misinterpreted because I didn't pray long enough or I didn't wait for God to give me the interpretation. I figured I was smart enough to do it on my own. So I thank you for all those times that you said, no, that ain't right. You better go back and study some more. But Jesus is telling us that every part of his word, every little bit, every I, the little dot, is so important to him, he warns you not to mess with it. That is his and his alone. Verse 19 says, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of God. Again, Jesus affirms the law as he interprets it, not the way the Pharisees interprets it. We have to come to an understanding that there's a difference in how the world interprets things and how Jesus interprets things. And then he turns his focus on those that have taken his word and twisted it and manipulated it into what served them. He focuses on the Pharisees. He's already blown their minds up. He's already stuck dynamite in their ears and blew their heads clear off when he told them that they were frauds. They were fakes. They were self-righteous. And now he's just getting really ready to tell them what he really thought. And so he says that whoever relaxes one of the least of these, he's not talking about, is there one commandment less greater than the other? Well, there is. But what he's saying is, if you take just one thing that I command and you change it to fit you, then there is no place for you in the kingdom. And the reason I say that is if you truly are serving the Lord and you are truly seeking the Holy Spirit to interpret God's word for you, then you're not doing it to make God's word work for you. You're doing it for you can learn how God's work works to glorify Him. And so what Jesus is saying, don't mess with any of it. What you may consider to be trivial is not trivial to him. Otherwise, he wouldn't have put it in there. Amen? But then he also goes on to say, but whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of God. You know, he kind of makes a similar statement in the book of Revelation. In chapter 22 and verse 18 and 19, he says, I warn everyone who hears the word of this prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his shares in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. Now, Jesus was talking about the book of Revelation. But don't fool yourself. He is saying, do not take away or add to my word. Do not mess with it. Allow me to interpret it the way you should understand it. And then you take it and apply it to yourself and speak it to others. Amen? I've always liked that. Those two verses in the book of Revelation. It reminds me that when it's all said and done, God's way will be done. His will be done. This earth will be the way He intended it to be. And all those who objected to the teachings of Jesus Christ, for all those who denounced Jesus Christ, their day will come. It does not make me happy to know that there will be so many lost. What makes me happy is God is true to His word, and there will come a time when all of this is no longer. There'll come a time where I won't need to stand up here and beg the world to open their eyes. Their eyes will be opened. Some just will not like what they see. Boy, you look at our world today and you wonder how much more will God stand? How much more will He take? How much more killing of his children will he allow to suffer? I don't think too much. Verse 20 says, "For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." Unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees. What kind of righteousness did the Pharisees and the scribe have? They had self-righteousness, self-importance. They gave the least in the temple, but they wore the finest robes, and people bowed to them, and people believed every word that came out of their mouths. And so they walked around. I could see them walking through the streets of Jerusalem, and people following them just like they were Jesus. And they had this God-like complex, and they took God's word and they twisted it and they formulated it to where it fit them, where it made them look righteous, and it made them look like they had all the knowledge and all the people needed was them. But Jesus says that we are to have righteousness greater than that. And so where does this righteousness come from? The Bible tells us none are righteous. Amen? Not one. But this righteousness that we are not righteous, but when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, through Him, we become righteous. Because then He dwells within us, and that's where our righteousness comes from. Not from anything that we have done. That's why His Word tells us to be humble and not to be prideful, because it's not anything that we have done. This righteousness, this thing that allows us to do good and to be good, is only because of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. Amen? See, Paul had it right. In the book of Philippians chapter 3, verse 8 and 9, Paul says, "Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord." So he's saying everything before he come to know Jesus is worth nothing. It's a loss. And think about it. Paul was one of these Pharisees. And he believed with all his heart and all his soul that he was doing the right thing by persecuting these Christians. And to the Jews, he was righteous. To the Pharisees, he was righteous. Until he came what? Till he came to know Jesus Christ. And then he realized the error of his way. And so he counts all that time up until the day he knew Christ as to be wasted. "For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Jesus Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith." It is our faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it's His righteousness that dwells within us. Amen? If you have any other kind of righteousness in you, it's no good. It's rubbish. It's waste. It's taking up space. For it is only our faith in Jesus and our belief in what He did and the belief that God raised Him from the dead that allows us to live a Christ-like life. And we still fail. But it's what we do with the failure. Or let me take that back. It's not what we do with the failure. It's what we allow God to do with our failure. If we allow Him to point it out, and we see it, and we repent, then He picks us right back up and still uses us. You see, Paul, when he was persecuting the Christians, was not a worthy vessel. He was a tool of the world. And when he came to know Jesus Christ, only then could he become a tool for our Lord. Amen? That's all we are. We are a tool. But we have to be a willing tool. And to be this willing tool, there's things that Christ requires of us. And it's important that we don't forget, not one minute, Do we forget where we come from and why we are who we are today? It's only through the righteousness and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So in closing, remember these three things. Who better to interpret God's word than Christ? We should all seek the Holy Spirit's interpretation. That is one of the reasons God sent him to us. That is one of the reasons that Jesus prayed to the Father to send us a counselor and a comforter. We like the comforter part, but sometimes we don't always like the counselor part because sometimes he tells us things we really don't want to hear. Amen? And then we all have hearing aids. And sometimes when the Holy Spirit is really letting us have it, we try to turn them off. But it don't work because he's eternal. And he'll just keep on and on and on, kind of like that old record player that when it got to the end, it just kept on going. And we should be thankful that he is that way, that he does not give up on us when we give up on him. Amen? God's law is perfect. We must be careful not to change it. Don't take that little dot away from the I. What good is the Y if we take the little curvy tail away? It's not nothing after that. And the only way we can be sure in our knowledge of the Word of God is to be in it and to allow the Holy Spirit to interpret it for us. For the Holy Spirit will tell us when to speak and he'll tell us when to be quiet. And if we listen for him, then we will not make the mistake that the Pharisees made. You see, they tried to do it on their own knowledge, their own abilities. And the greater they become, the more they changed it, the more they added to it. But his word is perfect. There's no need for us to mess with it. All we are to do is to proclaim the truth as Jesus interprets it, not how man interprets it. And the last thing is to remember where our righteousness comes from. It doesn't come from our works. It doesn't come from anything but our faith in the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Without that faith, and you notice how all these things come full circle. Faith comes from hearing the Word of God. Our righteousness only comes from our faith in Jesus, who died on the cross for us. And it is he who builds our faith up when we become weak. It all comes full circle. We can't let anything break the circle. There can't be no open spot. Amen? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning. And Father, as we prepare to leave your house, Father, we just ask that the Holy Spirit remind us daily that your word is truth and that you do not need our help in interpreting it. But let us humbly look to the Holy Spirit for your word will be interpreted to us, that we may be able to go into the world and speak your truth, not what we believe to be your truth. Let all the words and all the actions that come from us come in a manner that glorifies you and will further your kingdom. Let us not become like the Pharisees, but let us remain humble servants as our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God is good. And all the time, amen.